very sufficient to do that. I fail so often, more often than I want to give an account to God for, I'll assure you of that. But the Lord is gracious and He's full of mercy and easily to be entreated. That simply means that God's not so hard-hearted that we can't get God's attention. He's easily to be entreated. We can get a hold of God. God's got a listening ear. I was driving down the highway a few years back, and I saw a sign that said soft shoulder. I said, "Well, my goodness, I didn't know my Lord was there along the highway." But I'm glad, thank God, He's got a soft shoulder. He's a compassionate God and full of mercy and truth and grace. And I'm glad that it's that way. If I got what I deserve today, and you too, we'd all be in the pit, sealed there forever without any hope of escape. But I'm glad through God's infinite mercy, He came by where we were as an old sinner and lifted us out, made us children of God. You know, we get this crowd here today all the time, and about two more families, we'd just about halfway fill the church, wouldn't we? Amen. We'd just be faithful. All you young people, we're planning on some youth meetings with Brother Massengale. We'll be going over to Hardensburg, and they're going to maybe go to McDonald's on the way and maybe have a time come eating there and a good time over there and going to play volleyball and stuff. I want to get you young kids in encouraged to do something for God. Go with it. And you're going to get your hide skint while you're there now. But you have a good time. I don't know when they're going to start, maybe in March or April sometime with the youth meetings again and have four of them during this year. All right? All right. Preaching time, Song of Solomon, chapter number 2 this morning. Song of Solomon in chapter number 2. And I want to read the first four verses. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now may the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for the privilege we have to assemble again the house of God. Thank You, Lord, for the Song of Solomon. I pray that You'll help us this morning by Your Spirit to interpret and to preach this verse of Scripture that You've put before us. I pray for the Spirit's leadership because Thou hast written this book. And I pray for the Lord Jesus for divine light. I pray that the Spirit of God would open hearts and the Father would grant it. And God, may today sinners be saved by the grace of God. And our hearts rejoice in what God has done for us. Help the preacher. I feel so inadequate today, Lord, with this little old thought and outline that I have. And I need the help of God. I want to be a blessing to Your people and encouragement to them. Help us, I pray. And save old sinners and get glory to Yourself in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Verse number 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. I want to preach on the simple thought this morning, a banquet and a banner. A very simple thought, but I think adequate for the text. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. It appears here that the little bride had both a banquet and a banner. And, you know, banquets are wonderful if they're godly banquets. You can be entertained by the world and through worldly banquets and entertainment, and it'll only further develop your carnal mind. But I'm glad there are spiritual feasts that God's people can enjoy and sit down to and be blessed in their soul by an almighty God that has sent His Son into the world to be a propitiation for our sins and to nourish our spiritual man. May I say that godly banquets and banners, they're not for the worldly, nor for the worldly minded. I'm afraid there's a lot of Baptists that's on the pews, the churches, and they're not interested in spiritual banqueting. They'd much rather have that which appeals to their flesh than they would that which appeals to the soul and nourishes and strengthens the soul of man. I finally heard a preacher preach something on a Tuesday at Brother Shepherd's that I've been preaching that I'm in full agreement with. And he said it troubled him to go to preachers' meetings and jubilees and camp meetings and to see preachers get up and preach on carnal things like worldly dress or long hair on men or short hair, too much makeup, and that it seemed like the church would come to their feet and shout and run the aisles and jump the pews and have a great time over that kind of preaching. And I'm not against that kind of preaching. I preach it. But he said, it does bother me when they conduct themselves in that manner, and then a preacher will get up and preach on the cross and the glories of Calvary and the blessedness of grace and the wonders of the love of God, and it does not seem to have any effect at all upon the people that are sitting there listening. I want to say the reason why is because they have absolutely no appetite for a spiritual banquet that God has set before them. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You're going to feel out of place around the marriage supper of the Lamb when God spreads that table from sky to sky and you and I sit down and enjoy the feast that has been planned for us and prepared for us from all eternity past. I tell you, you talking about a festivity that we're headed for in the sky, my friend, is when you and I will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Lord Himself will gird us and serve us at that great banquet and feast that God Himself hath prepared for those that love Him. Somebody said, will we eat banana pudding? I'd rather think we'll eat grace cobbler. Amen. Yes, sir, that's right. And feast on a little bit of God's love and grace and mercy and even Christ Himself. There's nothing like a banquet, my friend, where God's people can feast on Christ Himself and nothing else. Amen. Now, I'll try to be brief this morning. I think you're in a brief mood. Now, I'll try to be brief. Here in verse number 4, the bride continues an account of her experience with Christ's love. Now, I want to say in verse number 3, she speaks of Him as being an apple tree among the wood, and how that she sat down under His shadow and found great delight, and also His fruit was sweet to her taste. And here in verse number 4, she continues to give her account of the experience that she has had with the love of Christ. I'm telling you, it's a sad hour that we're living in, that there's not many, my friend, that are able to express themselves concerning the love affair that they have had with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, may I remind you here that this is the bride that is speaking in these verses. I find a great marvel there that God by the Holy Ghost has allowed the bride, my friend, to say these blessed words. By the way, church, these are the words of you and I. This ought to be, or should be, our heart's desire toward God. This ought to be the expression that we have in our heart when we assemble in God's banqueting house to relish ourselves on the dainties that God has set before us at His table. I wonder today if you can say in your heart that you've had such an experience with Christ's love and that you have been carried on the wings of an eagle and sat down at the table in God's great banqueting house that you might relish the spiritual things of Christ and feed, my friend, your hungry soul, amen, in the banqueting house that has been decked out with all of the glory of God, amen, and prepared for you and I, amen, that we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory sitting at the table of God. Amen. An experience with Christ's love. Now, she not only found rest in the shadow of the branches of His grace. I'm glad, friend, that we have found rest in the branches of God's grace. Have you really found that rest? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. In verse 3, she sat down under the branches of His grace and found rest there. Now, I want to say to you, troubled soul today, my friend, you can find rest under the branches of His grace. Somebody said, where, preacher? At Calvary. Now, friend, there is rest for a soul at Calvary. Oh, troubled soul today, you that are washed to and fro like the waves of the sea and full of turmoil and chaos, you can find rest, my friend, at Calvary today and find peace in your heart for God. And so she not only found rest in the shadow, the branches of His grace, and was refreshed and rejuvenated by His fruit. She tasted of that fruit, and it was wonderful. But she is also brought to His banqueting house, and there delights herself under the banner of His love. Christ did not merely let us know Him, church, in the field as Christ in His humiliation, but He brought us to His royal palace that we might have a banquet with Him, and over our heads is a banner of love. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm glad, thank God, that our experience with Christ goes beyond the cross. Amen. We not only, my friend, have the privilege of knowing Him in His humiliation upon the cross, and there's nothing wrong with that. I would to God everybody in this building had an understanding this morning of Christ in His humiliation on the cross when He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There are so many people today, Baptist people, church members, professors that know nothing about the humiliation of Christ when He condescended from the ivory palaces and laid His life down on Calvary that you might be saved by the good grace of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that we can know Him beyond that though, Brother Billy. What Brother Paul say in Hebrews 6? Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again a foundation of good works and repentance and so on, and going on from the doctrines of Christ. Paul simply said, let us go on from the cross, my friend, and delight ourselves in the dainties and the delicacies and the graces and the blessings and the joy that God has prepared for us in the banqueting house of His love. God help us. Amen. We can be brought to His royal palace that we might enjoy a banquet with Him And His banner over us is a banner of love. Won't that be a wonderful hour? Friend, I tell you, it is a wonderful hour that you can sit down this morning, my friend, in the house of God. Look above your head at the banner that flies above you. It is not, my friend, the American flag. And it is not the rebel flag. It is not the Kentucky state flag. But there is a banner of the old rugged cross that flies above our head today. And its motto is love. I have loved them from the foundation of the world. God loved them and sent me into the world that I might deliver them out of their sin, that they might sit at my right hand and enjoy the blessings of God. Oh, a banquet and a banner of love is ours in Him today. Bless His wonderful name. I'm going to tell you something. The cross is wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's better things on up the road for a child of God. Like Mephibosheth, he did not leave us in Lodibar. Have you ever read about the story of Mephibosheth? How that David inquired of his servant Ziba if there was any left of the house of Saul, that he might bless them and show kindness to them for Jonathan's sake. No, Ziba said, yeah, said there's yet one down in Lodibar. But how can he bless the king's table? He's a paraplegic. He's crippled on both feet. His bed is a straw tick in his house. My friend is one of poverty. And his life is absolutely meaningless. He has no direction in life. And he has no royalty about him at all. And David said, you go down yonder to Lodibar and find one Mephibosheth. And it was there, my friend, that the servant found him in that house of poverty in the land of Lodibar. But I'm glad, thanks be unto God, that David didn't just save him, my friend, but he turned the chariot around and headed it back to the palace where Mephibosheth could set those crippled feet under the table of the king and dine there with the king, my friend, for an eternity. Hallelujah to God. Aren't you glad He didn't leave you down there? God could have saved us and left us in the land of no bread. But He brought us to the house of blessing, to His banqueting house. When we got there, honey, He had the table spread. And His banner over us was love. I'm sure that Mephibosheth said, David, why have you brought me here? What benefit can I be to the king? What can I have? Can I serve such a man of nobility as David? And David said, I brought you here just because I love you. Hallelujah to God. I want to tell you this morning, my friend, we were lame on both feet, deprived in our nature, away from God and afar off. I'm telling you, a sight for sore eyes. Our heart was wicked. Our soul was black with sin. Our minds were carnal. But I'm glad, thank God, that the child of God came down into Lodibar and brought me out of that estate and got me on wings of an eagle. By the way, my friend, to Christ's banqueting house. You know why I done it? Just because He loves me. Woo! Well, that little four-letter word that has so much meaning and so much power, my friend, just because He loved me. And I said, what did God see in us? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You're worth nothing. The man said a week or so ago, maybe 14 cents for fertilizer. That's about all your carcass is worth. But oh, thanks be unto God. My friend, one day the Son of God left heaven's glory, wrapped Himself in a robe of flesh. And all that sin is, He became for your sake and my sake. That's right. Whatever whoremonging is, he becometh. Whatever adultery is, he becometh. Whatever thieving is, he becometh. He become the vilest, blackest, darkest, amen, wickedest thing that could ever be made. For in that hour, God overshadowed the earth with a canopy of darkness. For it would not look upon His Son as the sins of humanity was laid upon the back of the Lord Jesus. And He was made. Are you getting a hold of that? He was made. God made Him sin for us. But not only that, but Son, after He was made to be sin, and through the pain and the agony, my friend, He carried us to the banqueting house. Thank God we're not left at the cross where we're made to feel the weight of sin. That'd be a terrible life to lay around the cross all of our life and there feel the load of guilt and sin and condemnation that God laid upon you and I. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to live from Sunday to Sunday guilt with guilt in my heart. The Holy Ghost, my friend, convicting, revealing, showing me that there's sin there. I don't see how some of you here this morning can come to the house of God Sunday morning after Sunday morning knowing that there is a load of guilt, my friend, in your soul. I'm telling you, all you'd have to do is look up to Calvary for the Son of God. He's hanging on the cross, and He's ready, my friend, to relieve that guilt, relieve that load, relieve that burden, and then lift you up on wings of eagles. And amen, on wings of eagles. Fly away, my friend, from that place of judgment unto the banqueting house where there's joy unspeakable and full of glory and a banner over you that reads love. What a God. Like the disciples in John 21. Out on the sea and toiled all night. But they found nothing. Jesus said, won't you cast that net on the right side of the ship. And they put that net down again, and a great, great catch they made that day. But I'm going to tell you, friend, the Lord Jesus didn't leave them in the deep. Huh? Aren't you glad He didn't leave you in the deep? Somebody said, what do you mean the deep? You know what the legion that was in the maniac said? Hey, let us go into that herd of swine. Don't put us, cast us out into the deep before our time. I'm talking about the pit, friend. Amen to God. I'm glad He didn't leave you and I in the pit. Oh, no, but I'm telling you, He brought us out of the deep waters. He brought us out of the deep waters. And somebody said, well, what'd you find when you come to land? I'm glad you asked. I found the fire coals, my friend, and bread and feast upon the fire. Hallelujah to God. Our Savior said, come and dine, come and dine. Come unto the Master and dine today. I'm telling you, some of you are starving to death when all you'd have to do is come to the Master and dine. Glory to God. That's right. Amen. Amen and amen. Oh, so some of you want to tarry out in the field. If I could sing, if I had enough wind, I'd sing, come and dine. The Master calleth, come and dine at His banqueting house. Hallelujah. Now, I'm about to get into the message, and I won't be long on it. Somebody said, what is that banqueting house? Now, don't fall out to hear it all, okay? But that word, that banqueting house, literally means a house of wine. That's right. That's where Jesus... Now, come on now. It means a house of wine. It means a place of entertainment. And by the way, wine in the Bible always refers to joy. And what our Lord is saying there, come on down to my house of joy and find the table that's spread for you, my friend. I lifted you up out of the deep. out of the miry clay, out of a horrible pit, carried you to the cross, relieved you of your load. And now, with eagle's wings, I've brought you into my own palace of gold and ivory, amen, walls of jasper, and set you down at my table where you can die. Bless His wonderful name. A house of wine. A house of joy. I'm amazed, son, how some folks know nothing about the joy of the Lord. Huh? Know nothing about it. I preached down at Brother Terry Brock's. I was preaching along the lines of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and how it gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I said, some of y'all in here look like a Missouri mule eating sawbriars. I said, and there's one fellow out there, and honestly, I wasn't thinking about that man. But buddy, he did, his countenance was sad. That fellow looked sad. I mean, looked like that he had to, somebody just told him that he's going to die in the next 30 seconds. He looked bad. The next night he come in, his wife testified about how she was washing dishes that morning. And God, listening to a song, and God came into her soul and she began to sing for the first time in years while she was washing dishes. And buddy, she sat down and some other folks testified, and that man stood up and he said, preacher, he said, I've got to testify. I said, I've never done this before, but I want the church to know. And he said, I'm admitting it. He said, I'm a Missouri mule. He said, all I ever eat sawbriars. Said, I don't know nothing about the joy of God. Said, I've never smiled. He said, I'm saying his testimony now. He said, I believe if I smiled, my face would break. I know nothing about joy. I know nothing about that anointing, what the preacher was preaching about last night. But he said, I was riding, going to work this morning in my truck and had a tape in my tape player of the choir singing. Said, there's a singing a song that they sang last night in the service. And he said, I looked up into that mirror and said, hello, Missouri mule. God said, that's what you are, is a Missouri mule. But He said, you don't have to be a Missouri mule. Well, you can come to Christ's banqueting house, to a house of wine, to a place of joy, and find joy unspeakable and full of glory in your soul. I'm going to tell you, better shout now, because there ain't going to be much shouting in a minute. And that fella didn't know much about spiritual terminology. And he, hey, girls, hey! You girls listen to the preacher now. Listen to the preacher. Said, I don't know much about Bible terminology. Look at me now. Don't look at that baby. But said from now on, said after looking in my mirror this morning and looking at my face, said I have determined that from now on in my life, I'm going to have fun. And he meant joy. He didn't know what the word fun meant. But he said, I'm going to have fun. Now, I'm going to tell you the reason most folks never have any fun. Well, that's right, and I'm not minimizing the cross. I go to the cross every service. And I'll go there again, but hallelujah to God. I want you to know that there is a banqueting house. He is not only the apple tree in the wood. He is the banqueting house with a banner over us called love. Hallelujah to God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That little old bride saw Him as the apple tree of the wood, and in the next verse, saw Him as spreading a table in His house of love for us. What a God. Now, somebody said, preacher, what is that house of love? Well, I had three things. I narrowed it down to two. I was going to preach on the covenant of grace, but I don't think too many folks can take it. Don't know much about that covenant. They're scared to death of it. It don't frighten me a bit. But I do want to say to my friend that the house of God is a banqueting house. That's right. We come to. I wonder if you come today ready to eat. If you come today ready for spiritual dainties and entertainment. I didn't say worldly entertainment. I didn't say come this morning ready for some gospel rock group or a puppet show or a donkey ride or a horse ride. Oh no! Did we really come to the house of God expecting Him to have a table spread
and have a banquet of spiritual dining. Is the grace of God enough for you? Is the goodness of God enough for you? Is the mercy of God enough for you? Is the blessings of God, the holiness of God, the joy of the Lord? Is it enough? Now somebody said, and by the way, now I've only got two things here on this house of God. I thought about the house of God and how we can come there and feed on truth. Don't many folks want to come to a banquet house where there's truth? Huh? Somebody said, oh, preacher, I knew you'd get on that. Oh, I'm bound to. Somebody said, preacher, and it's a marvel. I cannot believe what Brother Wayne taught in Sunday school. Somebody said, y'all been talking? No. But I told you, if you didn't get it a while ago, shouting time's over now. Feed on truth. The Bible said you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And why God's people want to continue to come to the house of God and neglect and reject the truth that will make them free is beyond my comprehension. Somebody said, where do you get that, preacher? 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long. Now here's the thought, Brother Wayne. I'm telling you, we didn't talk, did we? But if I tarry long, this is Paul writing to a young preacher. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Brother Paul brought her on down and said, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, I'm telling you, ain't too many folks want to feed on truth. Oh, we like that grace. We like mercy. But I'm going to tell you, when you lay truth, folks begin to draw up in a knot. And especially in the light of 1 Timothy 3:15. Don't leave me now. He said that thou knowest how to behave thyself. What about the truth concerning our behavior in the house of God? Now, I'm fixing to clean some plows. You just might as well hang on to your seat, because I'm fixing to nail your hat. Huh? That's right. How to behave in the house of God. And it's adults as well as children. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This all like Brother Smith said, and I'm not preaching his message, but I am preaching. Son, it's time we learned how to reverence some things in the house of God. This church house is not a gymnasium where children practice aerobics or whatever it is, aerobics or gymnastics, or play volleyball and football and play talk-a-toys. This is a house of God, which is a pillar in the ground of the truth, and it's time we learn how to behave ourselves in the house of God. Not a playhouse. Huh? Not a playhouse. I'm going to tell you, when I left here on Sunday night, I told Mrs. Hall, and I'm telling you this, I love you. And it's not just my children, it was all of them. Was acting like a bunch, acting like they had had absolutely no upbringing and upraising whatsoever in the house of God. Wow. Running, screaming, jumping, wow. Come on now, don't leave me. That's right, carrying on in the house of God. That ought not to be. I'm telling you, hey, just like Brother Smith said about that, and I'm not going to get to where I was going today. I'm going to say, just like Brother Wayne said about that ark or that covenant, it is a divine, holy piece of furniture in the house of God that God has sanctified and set apart for God's use and not man's. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We can show a lot of irreverence to the church. And the parents allow their children to conduct themselves irreverently in the house of God, we're doing wrong. And I'm going to tell you what we're doing now. We're going to teach them. Now, friend, to continue that at an adult age when they get older. Huh? And they'll behave themselves just like that when they become an adult in the house of God. Oh, that ought never to be. May God help us. May God help us put a rein on our children and teach them to reverence the house of the living God. Oh, yes, sir. And it wasn't just one or two of them, friend. It's a whole outfit. Huh? Same thing goes in our radio marathons and things. I'm going to teach something else. Look here now. Don't nobody leave me. Let your youngins come to the house of God. And some of them are babies, I know. But some of them are turning into young adults. Boys and girls. Huh? And to let them lay in the church pew and sleep. I told you it was fun time was over. That's right. What about God's banqueting house and feeding on truth? Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, that ain't no." Hey, it's not. You don't think that it's an atrocity and a sin against God to behave ourselves? This is not a motel where we come and rest and sleep. I saw one sitting the other night, sitting there, their head all down like that. I'm talking about passed out in the pew. I'd have thought they might have been drunk. And parents and grandparents sit there and let them sit in the pew like they sound asleep. It ain't no... And then beg God to save them. My God, my friend, you're presuming upon a thrice holy God to do that. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. Some of these little girls in here and little boys are shooting eyes at one another already, 8, 9, 10 years old, 11... 12 years old, some of these little girls chasing after some of these little old boys that ain't even big enough, bless God, to hobble yet. Tell you something, Mom, Daddy, I'm telling you the truth now. I'm telling you what Brother Hall seen with them two naked eyeballs right there, and I know if I've seen it, God has. Somebody said, "I don't like that." I don't particularly like it either. But I'm going to tell you something. You let your boys and your girls chase boys and girls in the house of God, and they see nothing wrong with the house of God, they'll be chasing little boys and little girls out yonder. Huh? Come on now. That's right. And I'm not just fussing at these little girls. I want them to come to church. I want them to hear the gospel. I want them to be saved by the good grace of God. But I am here to tell them and you and everybody else that running up and down the aisles and talking and screaming and jumping around when the preacher's trying to preach is right out of the pit, my friend, and it is not advisable. God will call the parents and the child into account for how they behave themselves in the house of God. Somebody said, "Now, preacher, don't get too personal." I've got to get personal. I've got to get personal. I'm not like some of the preachers. Thomas Watson said, "Porcupine preachers got a lot of points and never touch nothing." When I take a point, I intend for it to prick somebody somewhere. Huh? I'm gonna tell you something else. Some of you adults, it's getting ready to tighten up right now. I'm gonna tell you, there's something done in my office on Sunday night when we had our men's meeting. If it's done in there again, I'll call you on the carpet in front of the church over it. I ain't tolerating that mess. Got quiet now, didn't it? That is my office. And I am your man of God. And for you to conduct yourself in that manner around other men or in the church house or around the preacher, my friend, is just absolutely a sin, a grievous atrocity against the consecrated holy thing to God. Boy, it's quiet now. And she's a drawing up. But I'm going to tell you something, man. I just might as well be honest. This stuff of passing gas and stuff and carrying on thinking it's funny, it ain't a bit funny to God. That is not a bit funny to God. And I'm going to be honest, it ain't funny to me. Now, I understand there's a place for that kind of stuff. But not just blatantly open in the house of God to make a show of our flesh. Absolutely not. Son, she's getting tired. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you men... or to learn to reverence your wife. If you think that stuff's cute around your wife, you naive, sir. Amen. your wife one iota. Boy, ain't we having fun now. What about banqueting on the truth? Truth for children. Truth for adults. Truth about our behavior in the house of God. Huh? I'm going to tell you some of the stuff I've seen. I'm going to tell you what I saw, and I'm just going to say it. It don't make no difference. I'm telling you what I heard and what I saw at Sturgis several years ago. A bunch of young preachers got up and started taking flowers and sticking them in their mouths and a-chewing them and a-slinging and a-spitting around and crawling around all over the floor. And Pappy and Sister Burns sat right in front of me and Miss Hall. And Sister Burns leaned over to her husband like that and said, "Pappy, somebody's going to have to get her give an account of this tomfoolery someday." Now, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Just like Brother Smith said, those men of Bethshemesh, they uncovered the ark that the Philistines sent into their country, and they irreverently uncovered it and looked into it. They were irreverent to God, and God killed them! There is a right way and a wrong way and a proper way to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Huh? That is right. Now we can feed upon the truth. We can feed on the treasures of Christ, like the sons of Jacob did when they found treasures in their sack. Miss Hall pointed that out to me in a meeting the other day. Somebody quoted that verse, and I preached on it, I believe, back in 1988 in this church, on how that Joseph's servant put the money back in the mouth of the sack. Now, I'm telling you, we ought to come. Now, it's done dead. I understand that. I probably ought to use that one last, but I had to get it now. That's right. We need it! Huh? I might as well just back up. I don't believe God's done on that point. Somebody said, "Go on, preacher, go on, run on, get away from it, run fast." Oh, no! I'm going to tell you something else, my friend. That whoremongering and lying and adultery in the house of God. And I'm telling you, my friend, that covering up that mess is as wicked as those that commit it. I'm going to tell you something. When you've got folks on the church roll living in adultery and fornicating, huh? Somebody said, "Preacher, I wish you'd shut up." I know you do. And I'm telling you, folks, we need God. We got kids, we got young teenagers in this building this morning that's lost and going to hell. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, if we don't somehow get a hold of God and let... Amen! And get God down to church house. I could come to some of you this morning, some of you young people, and point you out and you're lost! You're lost! You're in sin! And we want to cover it up. Huh? And then try to come around behind the preacher's back to let him know what's going on with little old cliches and things, and try to let him kind of ease it into him, let him know what's going on. And all the time you've been covering that mess up. Somebody said, "I don't like it." Neither does God. Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, what are you?" Hey, I'm going to tell you what Paul said. Paul said, "Turn him over for the destruction of the flesh, that his soul and spirit may be saved in the day of judgment." That's exactly what it says. And we don't want to practice church discipline anymore, because friendship is stronger than righteousness and holiness. My God, aren't we having fun today? Son, we're there where the holy... No wonder I couldn't talk about banqueting. God wants us straightened out. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to preach on tonight. Sealed or soured? You get a seal or have you gone sour? You got a little air bubble in your seal. But I said, "What do you mean?" I may preach them both today and go home and forget tonight. I started to preach tonight on puking dogs and muddy hogs. God help us! rebellion. Oh, I know it ain't popular, but I'm going to tell you, I'm honest to God, I thought we was behind, beyond where I'd ever have to preach some of this stuff again, but we ain't. No, sir. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Lay out of the house of God. Try to put on a little spiritual front like you somebody and know God. Covering it up. My God, there's an altar of mercy and grace and pardon available. And I'm going to tell you what bothers me about it. What bothers me about it. You know who's going to suffer from it? Them little children. There's one thing I want my kids to know is I'm real. Not a hypocrite, but real. I want to be real. Covering up that sin. You regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Forget your prayer life. You ain't getting through. You just might as well shut up. You're an embarrassment to God. I told y'all to shout it a while ago. God, help us. The truth. Now somebody said, preacher, but how can I? You'll know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. That is the only way folks will get set free from their sin is to know the truth. Somebody said, oh, how can I know the truth? I exhort. Oh, Brother Paul said, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I'm going to tell you how folks know their sin.
When a man of God gets up in the pulpit and puts his finger on it. Huh? That banqueting house, the house of God, friend, you can come down there and delight yourselves in some truth if you want to. I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can puff up. You can puff up and go home and come back just like you was. And I'm going to tell you what now. You listen to your Brother Hall. You puff up and cover it up. And again, I'm going to tell you what. Then what you're going to do is cover this sin up. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. James said to him, sin.
Amen.
Better believe it. And I'm going to tell you, like Israel of old, we're not going nowhere with buried gold in the tent. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't. And if I ask, with just a little bit of prying and digging, just a little bit, I can take you right back and show you right exactly where we got off track. And if you got any memory at all, you'd have to say, the preacher, right back about that time before things went haywire. God help us. It's got to be rooted out. It must be. It cannot go on that way. Huh? Somebody said, preacher, ought to be long-suffering.
2 years! Is long-suffering enough?
I've wondered why in the past 2 years that I've hit whoremongous more than any other sin that I've preached on in this pulpit. Brother, I'm going to tell you another banqueting house, not only the house of God, but the Holy Scriptures. They're milk for babies, it's meat for the mature, and manna for those that are willing to seek it. Huh? Amen. The Holy Scriptures give us light. It'll give us cleansing. It'll keep us from sin. According to Psalm 119. And then that banner over us, and we're closing that. We're going to close. When I'm done, we're going to close. And the banner over us was love. I won't say that the use of the banner or use of the banner is together, persons together. Now I'm going to tell you something, church. The cross will remain a rallying point for the people of God. They're not afraid of the cross. Their sins are gone. They're not afraid of the cross. Huh? That old, when he lifted himself up between heaven and earth, he rallied people to him, gathered his people together from the four corners of the earth through the cross. What a banner. What a banner of love. That banner distinguishes one band from another. I don't have time to go there. But in the book of Numbers, each tribe had their own particular banner over them, and it distinguished one people from another people. The banner of love that is over us distinguishes you and I from the billy goats in the world. The tares that are amongst the wheat.
I say a banner is a sign of protection and defense. In Exodus 17:15, when Israel fought with Amalek, they took Moses and Aaron and Hur, went up on a hill, and they lifted up Moses' hands, and as long as his hands were held up by Aaron and Hur, Israel won the battle. And they let them down, they went into defeat. But they held them hands up, and Israel won a great banner that day, and Moses built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He is a banner of love over us. I want to say a banner is displayed as an indication of war. We are a militant people. We're fighting against sin, the world, and Satan. Amen to God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not about to let down my guard and let down my standards and quit preaching against sin. If you think I am, you're crazy. I'm telling you, church, I'm not about... I can't. Huh? I'm not going to let down on sin. Benny, can I use you and Angie just for a minute this morning? Would it embarrass y'all? Kids can get right, so can others. One of two things, right or out. It's hard. I know it's hard. I don't like it either, but it's a fact. Banner is an indication of war. Then I want to say a banner is displayed as a sign of victory. We have. That banner of love means we've got the victory. We've got the victory. Now, I'm just like Brother Wayne. Wayne was exactly right. It ain't no wonder God led him the way he did. God led me that way. And I couldn't figure it out either. I said, Lord, I want to shout it out. The Lord said, you just right here. That's right. And I couldn't get no further than that right there. The haven in the house of God. The haven in the house of God. The haven in the house of God. I couldn't get any further than that. God wants us to be right in our behavior. And He'll set the table for a banquet and put a banner over it. Love. Let's stand together, please. Cannot know thee standing afar off. I pray that you'll draw nigh. God, that you'll reveal yourself to lost sinners in our church, especially these young ones, that they might know you in the free pardon of sin. Lord, help us in the house of God to reverence this place. It's holy. It's consecrated. It's God's holy abode upon this earth when the saints gather together. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to the church and find a banquet and God's banner of love. I want to thank you that you love me and love all sinners today. You're not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance and be saved. Help us purge sin. Make us pure and holy. A pure lump to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What's the song number, Brother George? 288. We sang that. If God's dealt with your heart, I want to invite you to come to the altar today. Some of you folks in here need to be saved. You need God in your life. Why don't you throw up a white flag of surrender and come to Him? come to know Him today in the free pardon of sin.
Let's sing together, brother George. Amen. Tonight at 6 o'clock for the choir practice and 6:30, our worship hour. And don't forget to pray for the building out back. We may need a little extra funds on it to get everything wrapped up on it. I see they're putting the siding on, bright white siding. Looks good, don't it? That's pretty. I like that. And we're going to have a meeting. We didn't have a bulletin this morning. Some things slipped my mind. But after talking to the men, Tuesday or Sunday night, we're going to have a meeting Tuesday night, a business meeting, and address a few issues, one a couple about the building, and then a couple of other things as well. Okay? I appreciate you being here this morning. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody, and we'll see you tonight.